Hi Kaya family, I'm Sibongile Mungadi, founder of Ukuhamba. You are listening to my Top 10 at 10.
Top 10 at 10. On the street, on the air.
Kaya 959.
Listen, right now I feel like climbing Mount Everest just because of this song. Untilang Sibongile man. Oh, I love this song, man. It's just, I don't care. It's like a cup of coffee. It's like that caffeine shot you need, especially when you're feeling like a little bit lazy. Ne?
Yes, yes, Uncle T.
Yeah. How are you, Spo?
I'm good. And how are you, Uncle T?
I am good. Now, Drizzy Bon, Brighter Star?
That song is actually dedicated to my mentor, and I wish I speak the cover, known as Mrs. Hepingiti.
Oh, no way. Okay, I'm a proud South African.
Yes.
Oh, man. What's happening? Is she sick?
Yesterday she was hospitalized though, but it's nothing major though.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, Makuman. Paula Lab. Oh, what a lady.
A humble one.
How did you meet her? How did this happen? How did the mentoring thing happen?
I used to attend local events when I was actually starting to embark on this journey of entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
So I remember I met her several times, where she was called one of the speakers. I remember the one time that she and Sister Ming Gubeni were the speakers at Val.
Yeah.
So obviously, when you get inspired by someone, it's not easy just to come to you and say, Uncle T, can you please kindly mentor me and So I just give it a shot. We started texting via Facebook, I told her that I've been following her and whatnot. And then I remember she actually responded via a Facebook message, and she said, okay, I'm not going to share my contact numbers yet. Is it possible for you just to come at my office? I was like, oh, okay. That's so strange though.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, cool. Then I said, when?
She calls you to action.
Yes. Then after that, she actually said, I will respond to you. Then she actually confirmed the date. And to my surprise, indeed, she actually invited me to her office. And I thought okay, maybe you're going to have lunch somewhere, whatever. But she was like, no, I just want you to come and have a chat with me in the boardroom. You need to get used to this kind of atmosphere. And then indeed, that's where we started knowing each other. And then for me, it was more of, I've got a lot of insight from her, because what I was actually trying to do as my business Ukuhamba, it has to do a lot with local in content. So all the insights, I actually got it from her. So on the day, I think I spent 2 hours or 3 hours with her.
No.
Yeah.
Sure, that's gold, eh?
Yeah, she even told the reception that I'm expecting a visitor or whatever. When I came in, they were like, are you smoking? And then I said, yes. Then they said, okay, Makumalo is coming. Then I had to wait in the reception. And then she came. Then we went and we had our meeting in the boardroom. Then the rest was history till today. I think she's been mentoring me for more than 8 years now.
Wow. So now this journey, Ukuhamba, I love the story behind it, because it happened, it came to you because you were in a place and you saw something.
Yes. So true.
I think let's retell that story just to give context.
So Uncle T, what I can say my gum infection actually led me to my dreams.
Oh.
Yes.
You were at the dentist's office.
Yeah. So what actually happened was, I was also employed. I used to work 9 to 5.
Yes.
And then sometime 2018, I actually resigned. With no reason though, but I just felt this is it. I'm tired.
Yeah.
But before then, before I actually resigned, I actually started another initiatives where I actually, it was called Soweto Young Women Empowerment, because I'm actually a girl from the township of Soweto.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of challenges that we actually encounter as young females, and we don't have those spaces where we can actually be free and talk about certain stuff. And so that's how I started that initiative. So, but now I was working on that initiative, and on the other hand, I was actually working full time, So for me now, that's where I started realizing to say, you know what, this thing of me coming to the office is just a waste of time. My passion is not here, my passion is out there, And then 2018, it was on the 29th of January, I still remember.
Okay.
That's where I actually resigned with no reason, I was like, no, this is it. I had no money in my saving account, nothing, but I'm like, all right, guys, this is it. I'm done. But then I remember my mom. Then obviously I was afraid to tell my mom that actually I resigned.
Yes.
So I just kept quiet. And then, okay, she noticed a few days I'm home. Then she started asking, and I was like, how's Club? And I'm like, no, there's nothing, mom. I was like, kwenzakalani kanti awusasebenzi. Then I'm like, no, I change of career, I'm just taking a break, you know.
Yeah.
But eventually I did not know what is it that I'm about to start, you know. And then I remember then I had a gum issue. So I went to the dentist, and then it was a nice Indian guy, you know. And then he was able to actually assist me. I was cured. But then this doctor said to me, you know what, I just want to know what is the cause of that gum infection.
Yeah.
Is it possible for me to just refer you to one of the local hospitals?
Oh, okay.
Yes, just to get an x-ray. As soon as they're done with the x-ray, just bring the x-ray back to me, you know.
Yeah.
Then I said, okay, sure, I can do that. Indeed, I just gave it the best shot. I remember I was there, obviously being in pain myself. But then when I actually noticed or witnessed how people actually struggle to access mobility, I think that pained me, because for me, it never made sense. For one, looking, and especially in the black communities, whenever we are able, we tend to look down on people that are disabled, you know.
That's right.
So there was a lot of chaos in the hospital. The admin, you know, was fighting with the patient. So for me, it never made sense. I actually tried to step into the patient's shoes to say that yesterday it might not be me, but what if tomorrow could be me or one of my loved ones, you know.
Yeah.
Then I started asking, what's the problem? Then the patient and amputee himself said, the problem is that I've been on the waiting list for more than 5 years trying to get this, but no help. Every time when I come, it's the same story over and over again. For me, I was like, for real, 5 years, it does not make sense.
To get
a prosthetic,
yes.
And as we were speaking, he still had no access to any form of mobility by then. So for me, I was like, no, this does not make sense. Because my thinking and hoping that when our people go to the local health facility,
I'm
expecting them to get help.
Yes.
So indeed, on that day, literally, I forgot about my x-ray. I actually intervened. I just went and asked, does the hospital manufacture this? They said yes. Then I asked, can I speak to someone who's actually in charge from the orthopedic side and whatnot? And indeed, the guy came, one of the surgeons, and said, it's true what the patient is saying, but however, it's also like lack of skills in the sector, lack of resources, and the relying of exports and imports, you know. And also not that all hospitals have that capacity of producing this. So it also tends to be a burden and also a challenge for, on their end, because like now also other hospitals relies on them. So for me, I was like, okay, something that I did not know about. And then I went back to the client and I said, it was easy for me to also, because I'm also able, I'm not in the situation, but it was easy for me to say, why don't you go to one of the private hospital, maybe, you know. And then that's where like the patient was like, currently I'm unemployed. If I had funds, I was able to procure.
I would be too, yeah.
So for me now, it started making sense. I'm like, okay, so our people can access one, because obviously in the private sector, they have to actually
pay.
And then here, they said, no, here they're getting it for free. Oh, okay, cool. Then eventually, I didn't do my x-ray on the day. I left. I left Uncle T. I'm being honest. I went home. So on my way home, and by then I was still using public transport. So I'm like, hey, okay, this thing does not make sense, you know. I knew that I can do something.
Yes.
But I didn't know how, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So now, I guess, man, God has another way of connecting
you. By the way, you're a mechanical engineer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So God has a way to connecting you into your calling, you know.
That's right.
So then, when I actually went home, now I started witnessing within my own communities now. I'm starting to pay attention.
You're starting to see.
I'm starting to see these people. Then I'm like, you know, I'm...
It's like the color red.
Yes.
If I say to you, how many cars are red that you saw today, you won't be able to answer.
So
right?
True.
But should I then say to you, start noticing.
So true. So that's what happened. Then I started now like engaging with them, you know, within my own communities. And now I started understanding that, okay, the same issue that I heard from the hospital, from that patient, it's the same even with people that are within my own community. Then that's where I started tapping in the space. I started doing more research to see how best can we actually use these advanced technology and try to solve the problem.
So what did you end up doing?
So what I actually end up doing, that's where now my engineering skill came to play.
Yes.
Where I actually started leveraging this digital technology by using 3D printing to actually manufacture these prosthetics and try to make it more accessible, especially to our people. Because also the other issue is affordability.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
No. Well, you need a gigantic printing machine for you to do this thing. And where are you going to get it? Miss Public Transport, Miss Unemployed, Miss I Have No Savings, and I didn't take an x-ray for my gum, and who knows, it's still painful.
to be honest, I would say thank you to UJ, the University of Joburg. They also play a huge role because, remember, it was all about research and development.
Yes.
But not even having enough resources at hand. You are just a township from, you are a girl just from the township, and you are into your science and technology, but you don't have all these machines around you.
Yes.
So it's also a challenge on its own. Then I remember when I went back to my University of Joburg, they actually allowed me to actually use their 3D printers. But now the issue was this, because now I did a lot of research, right? Now I'm confident. I can tell you even now till today at the back of my head, I know what's happening within the space.
Yeah.
So, but then I remember when I started going to other stakeholders now, trying to make sure that they buy into the idea.
Yeah.
And one of the guys was like...
when you say stakeholders, are you going back to the public the health sector?
It was different. I was actually presenting now to different stakeholders. It's like me coming to you and say, Uncle T, this is my idea and I would like to pitch to you, you know.
Give me money.
Yes.
Okay, I hear you.
So that's what I did.
Okay.
And then I remember when I was pitching to one of the stakeholders, the issue was that, okay, clearly we can see there is a problem. There is a gap in the market, you know, because you are trying to solve a different problem.
Yes.
You know, and it actually affects our people.
Prosthetics.
Yes. Then, but now, you don't have anything tangible to actually show us. How are we going to buy into it?
Yeah. So,
that was a challenge.
Experience. Then, assets.
Yeah. So then, but the guy was nice to me. He even said, you know what? Even if you have to sketch it, you know, just to show us that how is it going to work and whatnot, it's going to be easy for us to beg the whole idea.
Yeah.
Indeed, that's what I started. With us even using these digital technologies, you have to have certain skills like your 3D modeling, your 3D scanning, designing and whatnot. So then that's when I started working on the sketches, on the design and whatnot. Then the next time when I went to other different stakeholders, I started like showing, you know, different posters and whatnot.
Mm.
And then it was easy now. People are starting to be more convinced.
Like, this thing is real.
Yeah. Then also I get another advice to say that can't you even get like a smaller printer and then try to do, even if it's a low cost fidelity prototype.
Mm.
Then that's where UJ came in. I went to UJ. I started doing, it was UJ and also Rose Library.
Mm-hmm.
Rose Library, they're based in Soweto Jabavu.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So that's where I went. And then they also had the 3D printers that are the size of a ruler.
Yeah.
So meaning that now I can only like produce something that's
small,
so small.
Like a size of a water bottle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then that's what I did. And then that's how I started now engaging with the two different stakeholders. Indeed, that's how I was actually backed. And then one of the stakeholders actually gave us like a seed grant of 100K.
Oh.
Then from there... my mom actually like encouraged me to actually get that machine because it was like, you've been talking about this 3D printer. Why don't you get one for yourself, you know? And then it was time of COVID 2020.
Yeah.
Then I started like ordering one online. It took time to actually arrive, you know? And then now it was frustrating for me because now I can't even go to UJ anymore due to COVID restrictions.
Yes.
And then indeed, I think it later on it arrived. And then my mom was like, why can't you put that machine of yours on top of the cupboard, you know, so that every time after we have ditched, then you can be able to run the machine and work, you know. Indeed, definitely, it actually started from there on top of my mom's kitchen. And then I was able to do like different prototypes from there. Then that's how I actually started being confident about what is it that we're actually trying to actually achieve. So in a nutshell is that Ukuhamba is actually an African word. Mm. It's a Zulu word, but it means mobility.
Yes.
And then what we do, we actually leverage these digital technologies for faster and sustainable and affordable of prosthetics. Meaning that our people don't have to wait for that 5 years trying to access it.
Come on.
But with no electricity disruption, you are able to come to us, and while we are actually doing the design or the skin or whatever, we are able to tell you on the word go that, okay, for us designing the socket, it can take 16 hours or 5 hours. So that's the good thing about us leveraging this technology.
Instead of 5 years?
Less than 5 years.
What? This is amazing. Chop. How many so far?
So far it's like we have impacted individuals because we are also facing like red tapes in the industry itself.
Yeah.
And you know that is also not easy being, you know, a black female tapping the space that is male dominant.
Come on.
And I think it's back in 2023, if not mistaken. I remember I did one of the interviews with News 24.
Yes.
And they said, according to their research, it happens, like, it seems like I'm the first black female in South Africa to do that, you know. So now you can imagine what obstacle and other challenge that I'm going through, you know. It's not easy.
I need units. How many so far?
So I would say so far it's plus minus to 60, because it's individual currently that we're dealing with, especially the ones from rural areas. Yeah.
60 units. So the price of a prosthetic, how much is it? Not yours. The normal.
The normal. The price of disability is very expensive, not just in South Africa, but globally.
Yes.
So it's like when you have someone who's actually living with physical disability, we are talking like you need to have 50K above so that person can be able to access mobility.
To move.
To march. But also the one for 50,000, it's not like the advanced one. It's just the standard one. So it starts from 50,000. It can go above a million, even half a million.
It's about half a million. It's about Oscar Pistorius.
Yes, the high performance is one.
Yeah.
Your seat leg.
I get it.
Yes.
How much is yours?
So ours, they actually differ. It actually depends. Like, for example, if we actually...
Entry level. To compare with the 50,000.
It's less than that. It's like 80% to 60, 70% cheaper. It's like 15,000, 20,000. It actually depends.
No way.
Yeah.
And you're still getting roadblocks and obstacles?
Yes.
Why?
I don't want to be political.
You need to be. You know, that's the thing about it. Business, politics, they come together. You'll answer that question after this. Wow, this woman. I am blessed to be sitting with this powerhouse, this pioneer in Sibongile Mongadi. Uguhamba, the prosthetics, that's what she does. She runs her own business, and this is her story on how far she has gotten so far. And we're still before the break talking about how difficult it is for her being black female in this space and the big guns fighting her, sabotaging her. You even had a break-in into your business.
Yes, Uncle T. That was late last year, around September to October.
And they just came for your machines, nothing else?
Yeah, we also lost like cables for our 3D scanners. It was a chaos, I don't want to lie. And then we had some setbacks, and then already we had other people that we were supposed to assist. So it was like sort of like a setback, you know, I don't want to lie. It also discouraged me to a point that I feel like I should quit.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Which is exactly what they want you to do.
Yeah.
Don't let them. Please don't let them. Yeah? So now, how many people are employed in this business?
Currently, we are a team of 6 full-time. And then we have like 2 to 3 individuals that assist us part-time. Like the likes of Tabis and them when like they're closed during school holidays.
6 full-time?
Yeah.
And should this business fail, 6 households are affected?
Yes, Uncle T.
We cannot allow that to happen. We can't allow that to happen. My question still stands. Why are you not getting support?
Uncle T, at first, this is something that I haven't disclosed to any media publicity or...
That's why it's called Kaya. Orai.
Okay.
It's your hour. You speak.
Okay. Uncle T, on a serious note, when we started Uguhamba, it was on a pure intention. But due to the systems and the red tapes that we actually faced within our own countries, like, for example, even our ministers, even they're saying that they're doing so much, but they're not doing anything for us. Mm. It's like, for one, also, your ministers of small businesses, they support, like, these spaza shops, hair salon businesses, mm-hmm. but they also say that we should implement 4IR. Mm. But whenever we're coming with such innovation, they're not actually, you know... supporting us to the right directions, and we're not getting like the full support. We don't have like access to funding. We don't have access to market. Mm. So those are some of the challenges that also hold us as also young entrepreneurs. And also the other thing is this. When we actually started this Uguhamba, I still remember we also had these guys, they're called, it's one of the council, right?
Yeah.
So they had to open a case against us. So 2022, I was arrested.
Hey, for what now?
Yeah, Uncle T. I was arrested, I think it was 2022, because I've this, what I was doing as Uguhamba. And I remember one of the officers actually, because I did not know, like they called me and then they said, there's a case against you. So I was like, okay, case against me. Yes, they wanted to see me. And I still remember the officer that was actually helping me with this case, Grace. You know, when they actually took me to the police station and then she was like, it's just that now it's late, you can't apply for bail. Then I was kept in the cell on the day. Mm. Okay, cool. But for me, my heart was broken because it's not like I'm committing crime or anything.
You are helping humanity here.
Yes. Then I remember that officer was like, we'll fight for you to come out of this. It does not make sense, you know. And indeed, I had to get a legal person. So I had to get a lawyer for this. And then the whole of 2022, I was on this case. They were against me, even the guys in the industry itself. So for some reason, I was like, you know what? I'm giving up now. I'm just closing this, you know, because I don't want to live my life like this.
Yeah.
And I was not brought like this in any way. And then I remember one of those officers actually encouraged me to say that, you know what? We're not going to do this in a form of a bribe or anything. You're just going to attend all these court dates and whatever. I attend till the end, until it was like adjourned on merit.
Mm.
That was 2022. But the whole of like 2022, late 2023, I was actually attending this case.
So they couldn't prove it?
They couldn't prove it.
And what were you blamed
so,
for?
So the thing was this. I'm actually having like an engineering background. So for them, like even my lawyer was saying that, even the officers were saying it was so easy for you guys just to try and guide her in the right direction to say yes. That it's either you get someone who's actually a professional in the space so that they can actually partner, but not just
what,
you.
An orthopedic surgeon?
Yes. So like now we had to actually get like a certified prosthetist to be part of the team.
Couldn't they have just said that?
They didn't. I was actually taken to court. I actually attended that for the entire whole year of 2022. And I think even till date, I remember.
Now I understand what you mean by red tape.
Yeah, it was that. So even like now, even when we are called by financial guys, like people that work in the medical aid, it's still an issue though, because like they say, like, it's like you are taking their bread.
How?
You know, they have this sort of, I don't know, I don't want to say standards, whatever, but they have this other way of quoting clients that are actually insured
yes.
under the medical aid.
Yeah.
So it's like, for example, if you come and you are saying that you are Unati, Predix, whatever,
yeah.
then you actually quote and say you want like 300K for this entire leg,
yes.
right? Then we come and Uguhamba and we have our own code, whatever. Then they say now we are actually taking a bread away from them because now eventually all these guys will come to us. So that's why
but
now
that's
we can't.
What, that's what development is about.
Okay, but I guess in this space that we're actually operating in, even with this red tapes or also like our policies, they don't actually allow us. I don't know how, but they tell us that we should start businesses. We should be employing ourselves and employing others. But when we start, but they also kill our innovation. So that's the whole thing that has been happening.
Are they trying to tell me that because what you're doing is within the health sector, you must therefore jump all those hoops just for you to be in operation?
Yeah.
Which then increases your costs. No?
It does.
You came in as an engineer and they say small business is the backbone and the future of this country. Why? Because it's going to find solutions to the problems that we currently have. You are cutting costs. Not only that, you are making something so expensive, easily accessible to the people, and who the majority are in the
rural areas,
and the poor
people that can't actually afford. Because also sometimes you have these kind of cases where a child is born with no limb or arm. So how do you actually be able to help the child? Because if the child's coming from a less privileged background, how are they going to be able to fund the child to have access to mobility?
I'm talking to Sibongile Mongadi, the founder, the genius behind Uguhamba Prosthetics. She's a mechanical engineer. She uses what she has studied and learned to now find a solution that now costs 60 to 80% less that has brought down the waiting period from 5 years to 16 hours.
Yeah, Uncle T.
You must be protected. Tell me, why Lusanda Spiritual Group?
It's my mom's favorite song.
Hello, Ma! What's her name?
My mom is Tandegile. She's late now.
No, when?
It was 2022.
Shame, man.
Yeah, I lost her then. That's where it was 2022. Then I was actually arrested, I think, around.
So everything
December.
Was crumbling around
yeah,
you?
It was, yeah, 2022, December.
Hi, Kaya family. I'm Sibongile Mungadi, founder of Wuhamba. You are listening to my Top 10 at 10.
Top 10 at 10. On the street, on the air.
Kaya 959.
That's the month of March. That's exactly what we'll be doing, bringing you people who just says to you, you can't stand. You have to move on. You need to march on. Maybe not them themselves, but they'll also aid others to march on. But today, it's a beautiful, basic, a double win in that we have a mover and making others move as well. I'm hanging out with Sibongile Mungadi. Uguhamba, you must Google it and find out what she does. Prosthetics, not only for legs, for arms as well, using her mechanical engineering background to help that through 3D printing, which makes it even affordable, quicker, and easier for people to have access to this usually very expensive space. But because of the space she operates in, red tape and the giants of the industry obviously want to unsettle her. Why? Because she's bringing a cheaper and good product. My word. You think you win. Now tell me, I'm curious about the fighting spirit. Where does this come from? Mom, dad, gogo?
So Uncle T, it comes from both my late parents. And also the other thing that I had while my parents were still alive, they call me like Lebogang and Sibongile. So I come from a mixture of Zulu and Pedi.
Okay.
My mom.
Olepezu.
Yes. So Mamaka is from the Zulu family, Uhlomuka, and then my late dad is from the Pedi side, Mungadi.
Okay.
So my dad and my mom told me a story that because I never understood why I'm called Lebogang, but also I'm called Sibongile because I was like, this is the more the same thing.
Yeah.
They mean the same thing, you know, but just different languages.
Yeah.
And then that's where like my dad and my mom, they told me that apparently when my mom was still carrying me, my mom was still pregnant with me, then they were actually visiting my late dad's family,
yes,
at Libueng, you know, during festive. So eventually, like, my dad used to work at Kemiko. So they would open after the school holidays, you know, around Chen, after on the 17 and whatnot.
Yeah.
So while they were still there at home, then my mom started having implications. And then now they had to actually rush. And then my dad actually drove my mom and tried to get the nearest hospital. Then the nearest hospital that they could get, it was GenFest by then. Mm. When they got to GenFest, then they at GenFest, they couldn't assist them. They told them that because they're actually not like full-time resident of this site.
Yeah.
So now they need to go to their province. So dad now had to actually drive to
Gauteng
while mom is still in pain and having these
complications.
So my dad told me that while he was driving, he was actually praying that my mom shouldn't lose me. Neither she shouldn't lose my mom.
Yeah.
You know? So my dad was in a position that she might lose both of us.
Of course.
Know? Yeah. Then with God's grace, they actually drove more than 5 hours to get to Barakwani Hospital. And then when they got to Barakwani Hospital, that's where like my late dad started telling my grandmother from my mother's side that they're about to give birth and whatnot. They said like my grandmother also came. Then now my dad, above everything, my dad like kept on saying they're on the road, I'm carrying a son. You are carrying a son. And he was hoping for a son. And literally he was praying that I become a son. But unfortunately, it didn't happen. it happened that I was a female.
Yeah.
So on the other side, they said my mom was happy that now we are having another second female after the passing of my older sister.
Yeah.
And then now there was a bit of sort of like a debate kind of. But however, my dad told me that he was actually praying, you know, to say that above all, you know, Lebogang Modimo.
Yeah.
That's how I was named, Lebogang.
Ah.
And he was the only person who would call me Lebogang in full. You understand?
Okay.
So that's when I started understanding why I'm having this combination of both names.
Wonderful.
Meaning the same thing.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
That's where now my grandmother, when my grandmother from my mother's side came and said, Sibongile, Sibonginkosi, kukonke, you know. That's how I was named Sibongile. And also I was named Sibongile because now my mom lost my older sister, Kuku. Mm. Then I was the second girl now after the passing of our older sister.
Why did they know good to the powerhouse is coming? My word. What do you need for Uguhamba to be where it needs to be?
Access to market, relevant support from different relevant stakeholders. Because what we're actually trying to achieve as Uguhamba, we're actually trying to be also being like a manufacturing partner to different stakeholders, especially those also in the public sector.
Yeah,
we can also offer our service, be that we come and assist them how to do this or how to use this machine, new technologies. We are more than welcome to actually do so. So those are some of the things that we actually need.
Mm.
And also, obviously, access to funding as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Where are you operating from?
Currently, we are actually based in Soweto.
Yeah. And I love the fact that it's there. People can walk to work.
Yeah.
Biggest challenge, obviously, is funds, is access to markets, like you say. But let's also dream. Where to from here? Where do you see Uguhamba? Because that's also important. It helps to know where the vision is.
The vision is, before we can go globally, we want to actually expand to Africa. Because we also know that there's also a lot of challenges within the SADC and also in the African continent. Because according to World Health Organization, it is stated that it's 1 out of 10 in low-income countries that have any form of access. So currently in South Africa, we're sitting with more than 3 million MPTs and only 30.3 have access to any form of mobility.
30.3 of how many people?
So currently we're having more than 3 million MPTs in South Africa and only 30.3% have access to any form of
That's
mobility.
That's like 900,000 people.
Yeah.
And we haven't even touched SADC.
Yeah.
Let alone going above the equator.
Yeah.
And they don't have access purely because it is expensive.
It's so true.
Yeah. Lebrun, nah, it's over getting money. So obviously the public sector, in terms of public hospitals, that which is exactly what the access to our people in terms of free medical care.
Yeah.
The public sector as well.
Yeah, so true. Even like NGOs as well.
Yes.
Special schools, militaries, mine workers.
Mm. Yeah, no. Someone is listening.
And if
you know which door to open, please, WhatsApp us 0636880959. If you know who to speak to, also please get in touch and we'll connect you, Lesibongile, so that this conversation can carry on. So that maybe 6 months from now we're telling a different story. But thank you, Sibo.
Thank you, Uncle T.
And I think more than anything, thank you for being present, man. A lot of us, we are overwhelmed by the challenges that we are faced with as a society. So forget true. Country, society, so community. But everybody's on some, hey, I just want to do me and get out. Not small.
So true.
You paid attention to something, immediately you took. And you put yourself last because your gum needed your attention, but you still said, but this is more important to solve than my gum.
Absolutely.
Which is a character we all should be having. And as I'm saying, you are such an inspiration. Thank you for being here. And, you know, also adding to what March, the month of March, should be about, to remind us that we are more than just about ourselves.
So true.
Humanity is what we are and what we can make it to be. God bless you. May God guide you, strengthen you, and protect you.
I'm going to receive Uncle T.
Keep shining, girl.
Thank you so much. And thank you to all the listeners.
Roti, she must not lose her strength. She must persevere. We know how expensive these things are. My own dad was an amputee, and I know how these things are. We can only bless her and protect her, South Africans. We wish her all the best.
Hi, Kaya family. I'm Sibongile Mungadi, founder of Uhamba. You are listening to my Top 10 at 10.
Top 10 at 10. On the street, on the air.
Kaya 959.
The best tea in the city. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to midday. On Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.